A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. Yes, it's the match preview show. It's Liverpool versus Fulham in the first leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final. A time recording takes place tomorrow evening. I'm Steve Hood, joined just by Dan Club for this one. Yeah, a little bit of a change-up to the match preview show. Some say it's because we forgot to schedule it in and only done it last minute. Others say it's because we've had a very busy day and the studios need the setting up. You can decide yourselves which of those you think it was and is. The most important thing is, Dan, we're able to chat about the game. Unfortunately, this comes on the back and it's the first chance, really. We've had to chat about the news that dropped about Trent Alexander-Arnold's injury. It was revealed moments literally before Pep Linders' press conference by Paul Joyce that Trent has suffered a knee injury. Pep then clarified he's a small tear in the ligament and he's out for the 3 weeks, so he's another one we can rule out of the team tomorrow. On the good news, Virgil van Dijk's back and fit and healthy again after his illness, so it's like the revolving door continues. But it does go to show, yeah, because there are the naysayers out there, and there are some people, and they are who they are, who would just forego the cups. And listen, it's a perfectly logical, understandable explanation for some people, or stands to have. We'll go, here's what happens when you play your best team in a cup game. You know, one of your best players is now injured. Having said that, I think we're all assuming Jürgen is not going to take one blind bit of notice and he's going to pick a very strong team tomorrow.
Yeah, and rightfully so as well. Not only is this now a cup semi-final, but also, whilst I get that argument, like, that could happen in any game, at any moment, in training, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? That what happened to Trent there is unfortunately just one of those things. This type of, like, it's the downside of the job, essentially, as a footballer. You're going to pick up injuries. Now, some pick up injuries more regularly than others, and I get there's ways to limit the risk and stuff like that, and obviously not playing would be one of them. But there was no way that Jurgen Klopp was going to take a Liverpool side to the Emirates and just basically roll over and get a belly tickled by him. He was going to go strong. And obviously, we were all overjoyed, weren't we, for 48 hours after beating Arsenal in their own backyard. And now everyone's like, well, this is what happens. It doesn't work like that. Football isn't quite as cyclical as that. So, yeah, it's a huge blow. Trent's been absolutely pivotal in recent weeks. He's been potentially in the form of his life, I'm reticent to say. Certainly in this new role and this new evolution of him, he's been absolutely outstanding, and he is so, so important to what we do, and it's a big, big blow. But you're right, it's one of those things, unfortunately, and having Virgil back softens that blow a little bit. But Liverpool are going to have to find a way. What it has done is it hasn't come at the worst possible time, because 3 weeks with this schedule is potentially three, possibly four games, whereas a month ago you're looking at six, seven, eight games. You know what I mean? So it's not the end of the world, but it is also not great.
Yeah, it's not ideal, and we'll talk about now. Then we might as well chat straight on it. Then we'll how are Liverpool going to respond to this in terms of team selection? Liam here says Gomez can play the next two games. You can have Beck and Bradley taking a game each. Obviously, we play Fulham, and then there is the winter break until the Bournemouth game. Now, Pep Linders said 3 weeks for Trent, maybe. That takes you right to the border of that Chelsea game in the league, so he's definitely going to miss that. There's a school of thought that just says it's Conor Bradley's time to shine, really. Conor Bradley plays He plays against Fulham, he plays against Bournemouth, and he probably plays the Fulham second leg. And then we'll see where we're at fitness-wise come the Chelsea game as well. There's no chance of Robertson or Tsimikas being back as well, because he said they're not even going to train until near the end of the month. But, yeah, is it a case as tomorrow night then it's just Conor Bradley right back? Because the option is, of course, Owen Beck left back, but it feels like Bradley's probably ahead in that particular race?
I would have thought so, given the fact that obviously Conor Bradley's been around all season, in and around the first team. He's played some Europa League minutes. His cameo off the bench at Arsenal was particularly impressive, I thought, to be honest. So it does feel like Conor Bradley will come in just to be the right back. And also during pre-season especially, he was doing the inverted stuff as well, so we don't need to change the system too much. He's not going to do it anywhere near as well or as often as Trent, you would imagine, but he can do that, so it's not a whole change for Liverpool. But yeah, I think Conor Bradley probably is deserving of this chance, and he might have had more had things gone differently. Had the draw for the FA Cup been different, he could have featured a home in a different type of game potentially as well. But yeah, I think a lot of this hinges really on Joe Gomez. He has suddenly become, he was important anyway, but his importance has gone up two or three notches over the next few weeks, because can he get through being a left back and a right back in all these cup games, because you're probably going to need him to fill in at one or the other every single game, essentially.
Yeah, and it is worth clarifying, I didn't even mention the Norwich or Bristol City game is going to be in the weekend in there as well, so there's a lot of games to be played. Given the fact that Conor Bradley's had the injury, though, it just feels like, and again, we'll see how he is, and Liverpool will obviously look after him in terms of what he can and can't do, but it might be, he hasn't had that many minutes, so his body can withstand the pressures of it, and he's shown he can play, you know, he can play regularly football. He did it at Bolton, the level's different, but he did it at Bolton where he was playing every game.
He's brilliant as well.
And he had a good loan, so yeah, I imagine that's the case. Van Dijk being back fit is a bonus, because what it will allow, of course, is one of Konate or Quanta not to play. What do you expect Van Dijk to play? And if so, is it probably, I'm guessing Konate is the one who maybe drops out, given the fact that they have been very careful with him. Quanta hasn't played as much as him as well. Liverpool put Quanta on the graphic that they put out, which maybe is half a clue as well. But if Virgil is ready, and by all accounts Pep Linder says he is, A, do you think he plays, and if so, for who?
I would imagine so, and I would imagine he does come in for Konate. Yeah. It feels like Quanta will play the majority of these cup games again, because that's where he's got the bulk of his footy, and this is a good sort of learning ground for him. He's done it really well so far. He continues to impress. My one sort of nagging doubt in that is that Jurgen Klopp has been reticent to go really young at the back, and now, of course, he might have to in one of the full-back positions at least. So can he afford to do, if it is Conor Bradley, can he afford to do a right side of Bradley and Quanta? Potentially not. Maybe Konate therefore has to come in. It's a difficult, really difficult one that might change his opinion a little bit, depending on what he has to do, because you could go potentially like a Gomez Quanta left side like he did at Arsenal, which means you go Konate Bradley to sort of divvy out the experience a little bit. That's the only thing, but all things being normal, I would be Konate out, because you've got to look after him. It's as simple as that, and I'd be Quanta in for this one.
That's the only other option, where if you do consider Owen Beck, is that maybe you put Beck next to Van Dijk.
Yeah.
And Gomez goes over to right back. But I think I'm in agreement with you. Midfield, the fact that all three of them went off in the other day, that started, you're probably going same again. So you're probably going McAllister, Jones, Elliott. There's a Gravenberch shout.
Yeah.
The Gakpo thing is interesting. He was the one who obviously moved further forward. I was talking Elliott, Jones, McAllister.
I think Gravenberch for Jones.
Really? I'm shocked.
I do. I think Liverpool, essentially, we had a 13-man senior squad at the Emirates the other day. The 11 that started the game, and then obviously Jota and Gravenberch wasn't. I think Jota and Gravenberch come into the start 11 for this one. So I'd be Gravenberch with Jones. I think we've just got to look after Curtis Jones as well, because he's another one historically who has picked up injuries along the way. He's been overfooted, just done him in at times as well. So I think we've got to be really careful with Curtis Jones. So I will be bringing Gravenberch in for this one. I'd be dropping Harvey Elliott back into the midfield, absolutely. And McAllister's a no-brainer to start in the six, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you said that. I thought the fact that Jones and Elliott went off makes them almost bankers.
Gravenberch hasn't played a lot of footy, has he, recently at all? He probably needs the minutes as well, rhythm-wise. And I get there's an 11-day break after this game, of course. But yeah, I would be Gravenberch in for this one.
Okay, fair enough. And then got to pick a forward line then. The logic dictates that Nunes, Diaz on either flank, beside the Gakpo or Jota.
Yeah.
Is Diaz now, do you think, again, we've only seen 45 minutes and we'll never know what the plans were for Liverpool's right-hand side and how fluid you can be. Elliott started there, it quickly got changed to half-time, and Diaz went out there and was a bit more impactful. And I think Elliott was better playing midfield than right wing as well, but how do you see him going on that right-hand side then? Do you think it's going to be Diaz?
Yes, I do, based on that 45 minutes, which is such a simple thing to say, of course. But yeah, I probably do. I definitely Jota starts tomorrow night. I'm absolutely certain. I was surprised he didn't start the other day at Arsenal, to be dead honest. But yeah, I think Nunes from the left, Jota central and Luis Diaz. It's not something we've seen Diaz do loads of. I thought he did it well the other night. I think the way the balance of the game went suited him, because it was that outlet down the right-hand side, much like Nunes one from the left. We didn't have an outball goal in the first half, and they provided that for us. So I think that worked. I think we'll need to see a bit more from him out there, to be honest with you. I think sort of his close control and what he can do with that triangle, because that right-hand side for Liverpool is often so effective, it's going to look very different for this game, obviously, with no Trent. But yeah, I think Diaz needs another big performance, because if he's going to nail down a spot out there, he's got to play well. Prior to this, I was probably thinking Jota's going to be the guy, but I just think you need to get Jota central at the minute, to be honest with you. He just looks absolutely lethal every time he's on the footy pitch, and the more you get him between the width of the post, the better.
Yeah, Liam right here in the chat as well, Diaz on the right, Elliot right centre. It's interesting because it's worth bearing in mind Conor Bradley's probably going to be behind this, whoever this is. So if you're Fulham, you're looking at that left hand side, I think, and that's where you're going to, your left, which is probably
Willian.
You'd imagine it's going to be Willian. So that whoever is in front of young Conor Bradley, if it isn't need him who plays on the left, they're going to have to go and do a job there. They're going to have to get back, because that is going to be Fulham's attacking option. Yeah. You think they're going to try and target, and why wouldn't he go and have a go? Now, Conor Bradley dealt well for 15 minutes with Gabriel Martinelli, of course he did. But 90 minutes of Willian is, you know, he only has to beat him once, doesn't he? That's the thing, yeah. Isn't it? 15 minutes, it's a smaller sample size. Bradley could have the better of them seven times, but the eighth time Willian's through, and that's the Diaz and Elliott are going to really have to, if it is them, help him out a lot.
Absolutely, oh yeah, and I don't really question either their work rate, to be honest with you. Even Harvey Elliott, where there was criticism of his defensive ability last season, nobody ever questioned the fact that he was willing to put a shift in and get back and at least try and help. He obviously lacks a little bit in terms of his physicality and stuff like
sorry,
that.
Sorry, mate, Dom makes a good point here as well. As Anthony Robinson, left back, is a very good attacking option for
both of them. That's going to be the real problem there for Liverpool. It so often is, because we know how attacking Trent can be. Defensively, he can be suspect at times as well, but it's more the fact he wants to get forward so much, therefore we get caught out. However, in this occasion, they're going to target that area absolutely, which is also another argument, another tick in the box for playing Ibu Konate, because we've seen how well he covered for Trent a little bit at Arsenal. When Martinelli was beating him, he wasn't getting any further because Konate was coming across and sniffing it out. So maybe for Quanta, maybe we just keep Van Dijk out the side and it's Quanta and Konate again, because ultimately we need to get the best people on the pitch to do a job in this game, but we also need to think about the future as well, and it might have to be Konta and Ibu.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Interesting, look, from a Fulham point of view, then they rest the players a little bit against Rotherham. They were able to make a few changes. Now, they've lost, obviously, Traore's been out for a while. Tim Ream's a doubt at centre-back. Calvin Bassey, Balotore and Alex Iwobi are all away on AFCON duty as well. But yeah, they did play a bit of a change team up against Rotherham in the cup and still got through, of course. I think the rest of the likes of Jimenez, Tom Kearney didn't play, etc, etc. The interesting thing about Fulham last time is what they've done recently very well, Dan, is they've had a go basically they had a go against Man City. And you know, within that game, until they weren't, they had a go against Liverpool, and listen, 4-3 shows that they were right in that game. They had a little go against Arsenal and won. Over two legs, though, do you see their game plan changing? And that is it a case of damage limitation at Liverpool, or are they coming to I don't know, it's a difficult one, because usually Marco Silva over 90 minutes, what's the point of what's the point of sitting back? We might lose, we might as well go and give these a bloody nose, and it's been very effective for them.
Yeah.
What do you see over two legs? Because you see that changing, or do you think he just sticks to his guns there with what should be inferior, a more well rested squad than Liverpool have got? This might be the chance where he goes, these are knackered, they've just played Sunday while we played. I think they didn't play, they play Friday. Yeah. So there's a significant gap between games. Mm-hmm. Do you think he goes, these could be knackered, they've got a couple of injuries, strike while the iron's hot and we'll go and have a real good go at them at Anfield?
I think it might have changed in the last few hours, to be honest with you. I think Trent's absence has probably sort of played into Marco Silva thinking, let's try and get something here from Anfield. I think previously they might be thinking, let's just stay in the tie, let's not be out of the tie when the second leg comes around, obviously at home then. I think that us not having Trent will have given them a huge boost, to be honest with you, because we've seen how integral he was in that game. Obviously, two goals later on, he ends up scoring the actual winner, of course. So yeah, I think Marco Silva will have he won't sort of go gung-ho and just sort of caution to the wind, because he's still going to know Liverpool have got threats all over the pitch. He's still not going to want to lose the game in the first 90 odd minutes of it, absolutely. But I do think he will now be looking at the likes of Willian, Anthony Robinson, etc., and saying, we might be able to just get something out of this and really keep it in the balance for the home leg for us. So yeah, I don't expect them. It's interesting how their season's gone, really, because we spoke in the match preview prior to the league game. We were saying, they really struggle for goals, and all of a sudden they went an absolute splurge of scoring fives and obviously three at Anfield, and all of a sudden now it looks like a slightly different proposition without Trent and stuff. So yeah, I imagine they won't be, like I say, they won't be cautious to the wind, but there's no doubt about it, if away goals were a thing, they'd be looking to nick one in this game.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, I suppose, well, as an engineer, you know, they've just got Raul Jimenez back to a little bit of form. It took him a while to get himself on the scoring, but he has. He obviously scores against Arsenal. He's been in decent nick recently. Although, before that Arsenal game, you know, Fulham were up and down. They have been quite inconsistent. He lost at home to Burnley. They got battered pretty much away at Bournemouth. So they have been up and down, but they've shown in the big games, really. Newcastle was harsh because they were down to 10 very early on.
That was Jimenez, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Jimenez, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He got himself suspended. Yeah. But for the most part, they've had to go at the so-called bigger teams. They've really gone for them. It'll be interesting over two legs how they decide to go for it. Let's have a little look who's got in the comments section. Yeah, Mr. J Mango says, Silva's a very good coach, especially with limited resources he's got at Fulham. He's done so much with his hands, almost tied behind his back. There has been some talk about his, you know, he was meant to be unhappy, and then there was talk of Saudi, wasn't he? But they are right. They've got to a semi-final. They've beaten some decent teams on the way, of course, and Everton.
They sold his goal scorer last season.
Got his goal,
the key player. They nearly sold Palini on him as well. Last day, wasn't it? They only just managed to keep hold of him. So yeah. Absolutely spot on with the comment.
Their route to the stage, obviously, it hasn't been treacherous. Well, listen, they beat Tottenham, which is always never easy on penalties. Of course, they beat Everton on pens. They had Norwich and Ipswich. They knocked out both of those teams as well. So they're here on merit. Mm. But if you look at they did keep Everton to penalties. They went to penalties with Tottenham. Now, I don't know. Obviously, those are more a changed base side, but it was pretty much Everton's full team, to be honest with you, about that, yeah, on that day as well. Can you learn too much from their approaches in either of those games? Because I watched that Everton game and it felt like once they'd scored Everton... Sorry, once Fulham had scored, Everton really came into the game, and Fulham almost got caught between two stalls. It is something to think about over two legs for Silva, isn't it? It's not something, and I mean this with the greatest of respect, that Fulham found themselves in too often recently. I remember the great Fulham Europa League runs and stuff, but it's been a long time since Fulham found themselves in two-legged ties like this kind of situation. So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Absolutely, and not just from a playing point of view in terms of the players, but they found themselves in these type of scenarios too often. But managerially as well, Marco Silva won't have to navigate too many two-legged affairs, whereas Jurgen Klopp is a past master in it. Yeah, so I think it's definitely a new environment for him. Now, listen, he could absolutely thrive in it. I think if you were sort of coaching him how to do it as an elite manager, you'd say, don't lose the tie in the first legs. If you go to Craven Cottage 2-3 goals down, all of a sudden you're chasing your tail. Liverpool scoring a counter, game over, essentially. So he will come to Anfield fully aware of that, and he'll come with the approach that let's be a little bit cautious, but well, like I said earlier on, without Trent, possibly with a slightly different back line, who knows what happens at left back. They will absolutely be trying to get themselves into this game 100%. So it's going to be a fascinating watch. I think the fact that Fulham play again on the weekend, obviously while we've got a break, maybe that plays into his team selection or what he does later on in the game, even if he does need to rest.
Shocked, mate, because I'll be honest.
It's early kick-off Chelsea, isn't it? So, but I get your point, maybe not. But if he is doubting anybody's fitness and he needs him to go again the weekend, who knows? Whereas Liverpool don't have that problem.
I think you go the other way if you're him. I think you put all your eggs in this basket. And listen, a league game against Chelsea, I know it's a rivalry, and I know the Fulham-Chelsea thing is a rivalry, but also Fulham aren't going to get relegated. Nope. And they're not really in position to make a massive push. Remember winning the Europa League sorry, winning the League Cup gets you in the Europa League anyway, and there's half a chance that they will play Chelsea or Middlesbrough, and they fancy the chances in the final. So if you're Fulham, you're probably thinking the other way around. You'd go absolutely strong and kind of whatever team picks itself against Chelsea down the line. We didn't talk about it before, but we can combine it in with this conversation now again. If you're Marco Silva, it is going to be Keith Kelleher in goal, so that you're effectively, you're playing, you know, you're going to be playing against a rookie right back, a young backup goalkeeper, and we'll see where we're at in terms of Liverpool's other options. But again, just a little bit more encouragement. If this was Fulham fan TV, they'd be smelling a little bit of blood. You think Liverpool have got massive injury problems. The DM's gone to the Asia Cup. The other one, you know, they've got a winger in AFCON. They've got loads of injuries. They're changing the goalie. Like if you were of a Fulham persuasion, you'd be encouraged that this isn't a, we're just going to Anfield to make up the numbers. Like they're banging for this, and they're a real credible opposition for the Reds, and one that, you know, we really have to take seriously.
100%, yeah, because we were nigh on full strength a few weeks ago, and they gave us a right. It was two late goals, wasn't it, that swung the game around. So yeah, Fulham fans, they'll be bang up for this. Obviously, they're going to come in numbers as well, because you get the whole of the bottom tier, the Anfield Road anyway, for these type of games, the domestic cup. So yeah, Fulham will rightly come thinking they've got absolutely every chance of getting something from this game and definitely keeping it tight for the second leg. So Liverpool will have to be at our very best if we're going to win this, and indeed the tie overall, because as you mentioned the Kelleher thing. Now, the Kelleher one's particularly interesting. I don't think he's shown anywhere near his best form when he's been asked to play games this season and indeed the back end of last year. He's obviously a high quality goalkeeper who we've sung the praises of in this competition in particular previously. He needs to get back to something like that, because he's going to be entrusted with a semi final here. I'm not sure anyone doubted whether it might go to Alisson. It's not something Klopp's done. He's tended to give the entire competition to keepers, Kelleher in particular, obviously. So he needs to step up, because he's going to be tested tomorrow night. As I say, I think Fulham will pose a genuine threat. They won't just come and sit back and look to soak up pressure and try and stay in for dear life. I think they will look to hurt us. So Keller and the rest will have to be on it.
We had a super chat here from Trent Alexander-Arnold, who says, "I'll be back, don't worry." 199. Nice one, Trent. I mean, yeah, all the best. Yeah, thanks, nice one, mate. I mean, £2, Trent, really?
That was my first fault,
I reckon if that was the real Trent, I reckon there might be a couple of... I'd like to hope that there'd be an extra couple of zeros on the end of that super chat. But thanks very much anyway, Mr. or Mrs. who pretend to be Trent Alexander-Arnold. Final one, then, obviously, we'll start wrapping up, Dan. Given the fact that the FA Cup draw has been kind of kind to Liverpool as well, and we're all thinking ahead of what could happen, how much significance is on this game in terms of the postseason? Because, like, again, there's the top of the league, there's bigger fish to fry there potentially as well. But it does feel like Jürgen and the team are sensing that this is an opportunity that they can win multiple medals this season. And again, we're probably going to see tomorrow night that he's thinking that way with the team he picks. But how much significance are you putting on this game tomorrow?
Yeah, and Klopp rightfully so, in terms of he'll go into this, like he did the FA Cup game as well, and giving it the utmost respect and look to get through the game. Of course he will, in terms of winning it. The news today has definitely dampened my excitement around it, don't get me wrong, because it's just another kick in the teeth when you're trying to manage and navigate a particularly sort of, not treacherous, but difficult run of games in different cup competitions all the time. You do want to just get through it unscathed, and obviously we haven't managed to do that, so it's a little bit of a blow. But it's still big. It's a semi-final, it's a chance to go to Wembley, it's a chance to get the first trophy, you know, in the cabinet tucked away, give some new players medals, show them what it's like to win for the Liverpool Football Club. I think it's all massively important when you look to build a successful football team and squad. So yeah, I still want us to be strong. I still want us to put up a best possible 11. What I would say is it's one of those type of games now all of a sudden whereby you're not going to be at full strength, far from it. So you're looking at certain key individuals within the squad and you want them to step up. It's your Diogo Jotas of this world. So this is the type of game for me whereby Liverpool do look a little bit under the cosh in terms of what they've got available. But Diogo Jota can all of a sudden just emerge and get to somebody else might chip in with one from somebody else. And all of a sudden you've got through it and you've got through it sort of easy. It was similar to the West Ham game the other week, albeit they rotated slightly. We had quite a heavily rotated team, and yet still we were unbelievable. And the big players stepped up, and we just breezed through it. I'm not saying it's going to be quite as simple as that, but something akin to that would be really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Then put it on the spot a little bit. Then a little score prediction. Oh, we're going to be here in the studio. It's going to be me, Steve, and Errol for the watch along. So usually Dan gets his prediction on that show, but I know you're going the game, so I'm going to pressure into one a little bit earlier than you usually get me. Given what we know today, Liverpool without a team full of players.
Yeah.
Give or take, unavailable for selection, how do you see tomorrow night going?
I still back us to get the job done, and by a 2-goal margin. I'm going to say Old Faithful 3-1 comes back for the Reds.
Nice. Okay. Fair enough. I might keep me powder dry till tomorrow. I'm thinking 2-1 or something. I think it's going to go to the cottage with the game in the balance. But yeah, it'll depend on a lot of things. Our approach, their approach, etc. So like I said, there, guys, do come and join us for the watch drunk. If you're not going to be down at Anfield, we'll be live about an hour and 15 minutes, maybe an hour and a half before kickoff, with the team news reaction on the Uncensored match build up, and then about 15 minutes before kickoff with the watch along. So yeah, I mean TV commentary over the last month in general has been pretty crap. Put it on your TV screens, press mute, sync up with us, and we'll commentate the game for you. And at least we're honest when we say we're biased, and we won't say that someone diving is clever and then that someone else to fall on the floor is cheating. We'll call it completely biased as it is from a Liverpool persuasion. So yeah, thanks very much for joining us for this episode of the Match Preview. Yeah, come and join us for the watch along for Liverpool versus Fulham on Wednesday evening. See you in a bit.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.